morning and happy Easter to everyone. Thank you to the visitors for joining us. We're glad you're here. We hope that you will join in and make yourselves at home and worship with us. I suppose it's kind of expected on Easter Sunday that there's a Easter message. And I hope you're not too disappointed if we don't have an Easter message. But I would like to just share some of my ponderings from over the past week. And last Sunday, we had our Sunday school lesson about Jacob and him passing on. And we talked a lot about death last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson. And I really enjoyed that conversation. And it's good for us to think about those things, even if I think maybe we talked about we don't really enjoy thinking about it, but it's good for us to think about things like that. And I suppose when life comes to an end for someone, it's normal to just look back over that person's life and reflect and think about the memories we have of that person. You know, I think about it some with my parents. Dad just recently turned 75, and he's had some heart conditions. And, you know, you think about it, you know, by the law of averages, he may not be with us that much longer. And you think about what he's taught me and the things I've learned and what my responsibility is in maybe passing along the faith that he passed on to me. And am I going to be faithful in that? Are we going to be faithful in that? And then I was thinking about Jesus' life here on earth. And if you can just go back with me and imagine if you were living in this time when Jesus walked on this earth, it would have been a lot different. There would have been no smartphones or cars or a lot of things that are familiar to us. But one thing that would have been the same is we would have been living our lives like normal, doing the things that we learned how to do, were passed on to us, and maybe even just doing what we thought was right. And then here comes along this teacher that just totally shakes things up. And he has a message that's different than anything we've ever heard. And he takes the law as we know it, and he just takes it another step further. And he talks about how it's important that my heart is right. And he talks about how important it is to do the things that the law taught, but then not to stop at that, but take it a step further. He talks about loving your enemies and having a pure thought life. And it was talked about a little bit in our Sunday school lesson. There was a lot of pushback to that. People hated Jesus. And I'd like each one of us to think about which camp would have I been in if I would have lived back there when Jesus walked on this earth. What would have I been like? Would have I been hanging out with the scribes and Pharisees and trying to find fault with this man? Or would have I been the Nicodemus that took Jesus' words and was thinking about him and raising questions in my mind and then going and asking more questions and trying to sort this out? And Nicodemus was a man that cared enough that he wanted to do what was right, even though there was, you know, it would have affected his life. Would have I been like Nicodemus or Zacchaeus? So that was just some of my ponderings. And then I also had to think about how disappointing Jesus' life was here on earth, really, when you think about it. Jesus wasn't here having a good time preaching a message. And sure, there was lots of people that wanted to hear the message. And there was plenty of big crowds. But the people close to Jesus often rejected him and forsook him. We talked about that some here in the Sunday school lesson. In Matthew 13, it talks about, Jesus talks about a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. And it talks about how he traveled to his own country, and people were like, is this really who I think it is? Isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? We know Mary. We know his brothers. And it says they were offended by him. And it says he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I'm sure that was disappointing to Jesus. And maybe even more so when we go a little further on and right before Jesus' crucifixion, when they went up to pray, and Jesus said, wait here, pray with me. And he comes back and finds them sleeping, and he says, different gospels say phrase it differently, but he was exceedingly sorrowful. And he comes back and he's like, could you actually not wait with me 1 hour? He was alone in his suffering. And then finally, when he was before Pilate, in Luke 23, it talks about that. When Peter was there warming himself by the fire, and he denied Jesus thrice, and it says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And I don't know what all that looked like, but it was most certainly a look of disappointment. We do know that. And I just, you know, just this was some of my musings for this week, and I guess one of the challenges that I thought of, and again, I'd like to challenge you, is which camp would have I been? Where would have I been? Could have I been somebody that received Jesus' teachings and took them to heart? In Acts, we read about Peter after the Pentecost preaching, and 3,000 people accepted Christ. Those were the people that were around when Jesus was teaching here when he was on earth. And those were the people that received what Jesus had to say and accepted it. And then when Peter came around and preached the message of salvation, they said, yes, that's us. We want that. We accept that. So again, I mentioned a little bit how times when someone passes on, it's natural to just reflect and think back. And you can turn with me to Matthew 28. This is, I want to look at 18 to 20. This is Jesus right before his ascension. And this was Jesus' last words to his disciples. And I suppose there were times when Jesus was on earth that he felt a little like us parents do sometimes. I have older children now that are old enough to make some of their own decisions and choices. And probably Jesus came to this point and thought, I wonder if I really got across what I needed to get across. Did I teach them everything I needed to teach them? And he was getting ready to go away, and sometimes we go away and leave the boys with some last-minute instructions, and we get on the road, and I think, did we forget anything? And furthermore, did we teach them well enough that what we did tell them they're going to do? And I imagine Jesus had some of these same feelings when he was getting ready to leave. And let's read these verses, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, I ask you to go back with me and imagine you were living back in Jesus' time when he was here on this earth and teaching. We can't do that. But one thing we can do is live today and follow Jesus' teachings today. And I would just like to take these words and pull out of there that little phrase in verse 20 where it says, observe all things. And Jesus said a lot and taught a lot of things while he was teaching here on earth. But what he did even more than that was he gave us his example. And we can read the stories in the Gospels of how Jesus responded to hard-hearted men that weren't willing to receive the truth, and how he had very strong condemnation for them. And he cut through the smoke and just made it very clear where their standing was before God. And then it shows us how Jesus dealt with people that had sinned and been involved in serious failures, but they were repentant and they were ready to come back, and we see the compassion that he had for them and how he dealt with them. And there's a lot of things that we can look in his life and follow his example. But this morning, I have 3 points, just some things that we can live our lives, ways that we can live our lives and that we can honor his legacy and his example that he left for us. Another verse that I was going to share that I forgot to share kind of during the introduction was Matthew 23:37. And it's where Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. And again, it gives us a little bit of a glimpse into the disappointments of Jesus' life when he was here on earth, how he came with a message, and there was, for the most part, the Jews rejected that message and did not receive that message. This verse, I think, shows Jesus' compassion in spite of the rejection he faced. The first point I have is live in righteousness. And you can turn to Matthew 5:20. Said in Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And we know a little bit what the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness was like. And is it possible for us to live like the scribes and Pharisees today? Do we have a culture that we need to fit into? Is it possible for us to try to fit into that culture, wherever that may be, and look the look in a way that we're accepted without having a heart after God? This is what Jesus was warning against. Living in righteousness involves, first of all, loving God. In Matthew 22:37-38, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if you remember that, they were trying to trap Jesus, and they were coming to him and asking him questions, trick questions. And the one place it says, I'm just going to turn to that, Matthew 22. And then 34, it says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And it almost seemed like they were like, okay, that didn't stump him up. What can we come to him with? And they ask him the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus We read how he says, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And what Jesus was saying here, that if we have the love of God like that in our hearts, that a lot of the other things behind it will fall into place. Obedience to God. John 14:15 says, If you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus challenged those around him, and he challenges us today with the commandments of purity. Remember how he talked about purity in our thought life? And modesty and love. Love for enemies. Love for those that... are hard to love. He talked about our speech being yea, yea, and nay, nay. Speech that honors him. He talked about forgiveness. He talked about tithing. Humility, justice, mercy, holiness, commandments that he wants us to follow today. Jesus talked about the Pharisees when he condemned them for their lack of righteousness. He said in Matthew 23:23-24, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And Jesus was trying to get a point across how utterly ridiculous it is to try to have an outward religion and not have it in our hearts. And he just condemned the Pharisees time and time again. The Pharisees were like strict keepers of the law. They made sure to tithe exactly 10%, even down to the herbs from their garden that it talks about here. They were just super strict on that. But then the important things, Jesus said, were left undone. And he calls them blind guides that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, and kind of an interesting word picture there. They ignored the little gnat and got tripped up by the big camel. Number one, the best thing that we can do, or the one thing that we can do to honor Jesus' example and his legacy, is live in righteousness. Number two is love one another. You can turn to John 13:34-35. John 13:34-35 says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And I suppose we can look at Jesus' love that he had for us, for sinful humans, and for the love that he had for those around him. And there's a sense in which maybe we can never quite measure up to that kind of love. I think it should be our goal, but it's a lofty goal. One of the things that Jesus taught us about this kind of love is that we'll forgive those that have wronged us. And I suppose all of us have lived long enough, or most of us have lived long enough, that we know what it's like to be wronged. We know what it's like to, when people let us down and when we're disappointed. Jesus talked in Matthew 6 how important it is to forgive, to have the kind of love that forgives. He says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And Jesus talked about, many times talked about love and forgiveness. Along with that love comes a serving one another. And this is something else that Jesus demonstrated. He didn't just teach us, but he showed us what it looks like to serve one another. And in John 13, 14, and 15, at the Last Supper there, Jesus told the disciples, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And Jesus, while Jesus was, I think, teaching them that to wash each other's feet, it was much more than that. What Jesus was telling his disciples and was telling us today is how important it is to live lives of service. And I think it's probably safe for me to go out on a limb here and say that none of us live a life of service like Jesus did. And I think it should be our goal each day, each week, as we go about our lives, that we could continue to grow in modeling a life of service like Jesus did when he lived on this earth. Here in Matthew 28, the first verses that we read, the third thing I have is spread the gospel. And in Deuteronomy, it talks about the law, the law, and how the children of Israel were supposed to bind that upon their hands and upon their foreheads, and just have that on the doorposts of their home, and just live by that law, and to teach it to their children and to their children, and live it day by day. And that's the kind of teaching that Jesus is talking about here in verse 19, 28, 19. It starts with us at home, parents teaching our children. And, you know, just like we've been taught by our parents, our children aren't going to learn these things on their own. It takes somebody to teach them. And teach them the stories of Jesus and teach them the concepts that Jesus showed while he was here on this earth. But it doesn't stop there. It goes beyond that. It goes to when we're out on our jobs, men, or in the grocery stores, or wherever we're mingling with people of this world, or people that might not be living in obedience to God's word, teaching them. And maybe that's where sometimes we're a little too quiet and we like to just, well, surely people will see, you know, and they can see in our lives. And that's not all bad. I think there's a point in which that we also need to teach and spread the gospel by our example. Matthew talks about that, Jesus talked about that in Matthew 5:16, where he talks about letting your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. We should have lives that show forth Christ's love. But I think sometimes we're a little too quiet in passing along teaching. This week I was sitting with a customer, just a walk-in customer that came in, and they want to build a cabin. And it was a mom and dad and their daughter. The parents were, I believe, in their 70s or 80s. They were, should have known better, but the dad was just really loose about hell, and he was using it very lightly. He talked about something being cold as hell, and his wife was back and forth with him, and he made the comment that, well, somebody should have told his friends that. And I just don't know that I was ever around somebody that just talked very lightly about hell and their eternal destination. And I thought about it after they left. I wished I would have said something. I was thinking about it when they were there and what I could say without being offensive, but let's say a word and spread the gospel message. Just like when Christ was ready to ascend, he had completed his work here on earth. Just like he was counting on his disciples, he left them with a message. And he said, go teach the nations and teach them to observe all things. And just like that, Jesus is counting on us today to be his hands and feet, to teach the gospel message, to live a life of righteousness, to love one another, to spread the gospel. And as we reflect on Jesus' legacy, as we reflect on his example that he left, let's honor that legacy. Let's be faithful to follow his example and live lives that live out his last words, observing all things. And as we do that, that we could bring honor to Christ. And Hebrews 3:13 talks about, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And we do have an adversary. He doesn't want us to follow these teachings. He doesn't want us to follow Christ's example. But let's remember that time is short, and we only have one life to live for Christ. May we be faithful in doing that. Let's kneel for prayer.